Would like to introduce the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
I am a Youper.
In front there for Lesperance. Backhand to the front. Here's a shot! O'Gillies with the goal!
I love the UP.
Gould got it going on now. Big time speed coming in. Goes wide. Centers it in front. Shot! Scores! What a play by Gavin Gould!
And my heart is here.
To the blue line. Held in. The penalty is over. Shoot!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Morty's Gas Station, Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center in Houghton, the Kaliva Cafe, Kuna Automotive, Coca-Cola of Hancock, Bucko's Party Store, the Wickley Agency, Superior Smile, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Peterlin Distributing, Lake Accounting and America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, and the Turbo Agency. And now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much. We are excited to talk about Michigan Tech hockey today, and who isn't, right? Michigan Tech with a big win on Saturday night against Northern Michigan down at that epically hyped game at the Berry Event Center. 2-0 the final. Huskies shutting out the Wildcats and get a bid into the NCAA tournament. Congratulations, Coach Sean. Welcome back to the studio.
Thanks, Dirk.
Well, very exciting. I don't even know where to really begin with this. But yesterday, I know the team got together to watch the selection show and see that we will be out east in the East Regional, about as far east as you can go in the United States, in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and going to take on one of the top teams in the nation, which we knew we would, in Notre Dame. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was going back and forth on the night before. It was either going to be Cornell or Notre Dame, and I think it was pretty much consensus from the people who do this stuff, the people on the internet, that it was going to be that we were going to Bridgeport. So we're excited about the opportunity. We're excited to go play. We're certainly not just taking this as a token. I like the way our team is playing right now. I like the attention to detail. We want to go out there as we always say, our focus is on playing the best, being the best that we can be, and not on, we don't focus. I know I've offended a lot of people during the year, but the focus isn't on winning and losing. The focus is on being the best we can be and getting better every day. So we'd love for that game on Friday night to be the best game that we've played all year. And if it is, I think it's going to be a great hockey game.
Well, let's go back to last Saturday night, Coach. And now that the game is over with, we can talk more about the hype and the crowd, the atmosphere that was going on. You have been a part of both of these new format championship games in the WCHA, and both of them were pretty incredible.
Yeah, as far as excitement, there's no comparison. Now we've been at one on at home and gotten to feel the presence of your home crowd. Now we've been at one on the road where we had a great, as much as we possibly could have had, hometown contingent there following us, and they did an incredible job. We felt your love and your support. And I think it's a great format. I think it's, it's so much more, in my opinion, so much more conducive to what you're trying to get the college experience to be by doing it this way versus, now it'd be fun if we were playing at the XL or at the Van Andel or something like that and it was packed. But when you go there and it's half full or less, quarter full, it doesn't have the same magnitude, the same excitement as these games have. So it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it, and it was great that it was a short trip over. It's great that we were able to come back that night after the game. It's great that we got an escort coming into town. It made the guys feel like $1 million, and it was great that so many people got to be able to see the game.
Now you talk about the escort. I heard about it as I was driving home, and I was probably about 15 minutes ahead of the bus driving home, and when I was going through Chastel, I saw the lineup of emergency vehicles already, and I'm like telling myself, I really want to get home, but maybe I want to hang around here and wait for the bus. But I ended up going home and watched it.
Yeah, and it was kind of neat though. But you're seeing cars pull over because cars don't. I mean, a lot of people don't have a clue what's going on, and then some people probably coming home from maybe even watching the game and having a few sociables when they're at the game, and they're seeing all these lights and stuff coming at them. So they're getting out of the way as fast as they can. So it was enjoyable. It was a fun night. It was fun. It was great for the community. It was heartwarming, the whole experience for sure.
We obviously talked to you before the game on Saturday, but we didn't get much into your You as a coach, your nerves going into that game, was it a big difference for you?
No.
I didn't think so.
I try to stay, personally, I talked about this in the post game press conference. The biggest disappointment I would have had was that I know how much this stuff means to the community. Had we not had success for the loyal people, I don't know how many people tuned in or somehow were able to view the game, whether they were there live, and I shouldn't say view, take in the game, whether they were listening to you, whether they were seeing it on TV, whether they were streaming it. But I do feel that there was a great percentage of the community of this whole area that took that game in, and you feel that, you know. I came up in Sault Ste. Marie. I grew up in Sault Ste. Marie. It's different there, and I don't know. I'm thinking maybe it's because it was first Michigan Tech, Sault Tech, a branch of Michigan Tech, and then the university, whatever year they came around. But the hockey team didn't come around until the late 60s. I don't, you know, maybe 68 or something was the first year, something like that. But the university there is not, it's in the community, but it's separate. Like if people have to follow something, they're following high school, the high school team and things like that. And then there's really no, very little tie between the outskirt communities such as the Red Yards and things like that. When I went to Marquette, I felt it a lot more because it's a 100-year-old university at Northern, and you could feel that homecoming at Northern was part of the Marquette community. It was, Northern is a big deal there, as far as being, entrenched and part of the community, part of the fabric and the fiber. Way more than the, I mean, at Lake Superior, they call it Harvard on the Hill. It's up on the, you know, it just seems so separate. The people, and here you have that, it's even to a step further where, you know, Michigan Tech is in my, and maybe I'm encapsulating things like that, but it just feels like it's the community. Everybody's involved. Every young kid wants to play for Michigan Tech in some sport. Everybody went there that would have been the disappointment. It would have been just feeling that you let down the entire Keweenaw Peninsula. You know, it just felt like it meant that much. As far as the game, for some reason we felt, you know, I read some things, but we just kind of felt it was, you know, another, it was a game. It had more magnification because it was a championship game, but, I never felt that, you know, the big hype of it. Like, it didn't feel any more than a championship hockey game to me. And that's probably a good thing. And I think the players felt the same way. Let's get at this and get this done. And the relief was, okay, let's play. You know, once the game started, the week just seemed to drag. Let's get this thing going and we're ready to play. Let's go.
Well, the guys did a great job, you know, towards the end of that game. That third period was so intense, trying to hold on to that one goal lead. And, you know, how much banter is going on between you and your coaches, coach, in any game, but especially a game like that in the third period, you're trying to get the right lines out there at the right time. You have a short bench as it is. You know, how much communication?
Constant.
It's just constant yelling at each other, I would imagine.
It's constant discussion back and forth, and our coaches did a great job. Fortunately, the way it looked to me, the way it appeared to me is we were primarily playing three lines. They were, in a lot of ways, playing two lines. And, you know, there was a lot of talk on, you know, that's where Brooksy really comes into, that's why I wanted him so bad, his head coaching experience and things like that, that we have a great rapport, on the bench. And it was talk on, let's keep close tabs on when we have our timeout, we can take when we want to take it, if we want to take it. And there were several times where we felt we could have used it, but we looked over and Northern Michigan guys had their hands on their knees and things, and they were tired, and they weren't, you know, they were tired when they were coming on the ice a lot of times, it looked to us. So we didn't want to burn it. We wanted to keep it going. I always give credit to, rightfully, I want to acknowledge Tyler Schlass and the job he does with our guys. Our guys pushed it. You know, we went three lines primarily for three games at Mankato, and then we went, you know, and then we did the same thing. And we tried to condition our guys to be able to do that in a lot of ways. Although we're going to, you know, we'll probably do things a little bit differently in our next game. But our guys had good wind. They had good legs, and they were pushing. So But there's constant line matching, face off, you know, who's, how are we doing against this guy on face offs? You know, what's, you know, what's, keep an eye on that bench and, you know, who's up? You know, they did some good decoying, having guys look like they're coming over the boards and then not coming over the boards and things. And we do the same. So there's constant communication, constant adjustments being made. And that's what we did on the timeout we did use. It was, we altered some things up on some things that we did. We just changed what we were doing. So we made sure we had topside coverage. And, so we didn't end up having to use our timeout for rest or anything. We did it strategically, which was a benefit to us.
You talk about it. I did notice guys like Ballou, Loggins, Payne, those guys out there towards the end of that game. I could tell we were tired too, mm-hmm. but Ballou really, I mean, he's such a dynamic player. In my mind, I was thinking he is looking like he's wearing down out there a little bit.
And we gave up three shots in the third.
Right.
I mean, we did a great job in the third period. And one of them was a great, well, two of them were great scoring chances. One, they hit a goal post. That wasn't a save. They hit a goal post. But Packy made a great save with the goalie out with a minute left. We lost the coverage in front. They were able to jam a loose puck into just outside the crease area, and they got a great whack at it, and Packy made a pad save right before Joe went down and got that goal for us. So it was a great game. I think both teams had momentum side to side. I think both goaltenders played extremely well. I think both teams played extremely well. I don't think there was a team that didn't. Neither team shortchanged themselves. Neither team has to hang their head. I think they both executed. We just happened to put one in, and they didn't. So we're extremely happy for that. But and we're most proud that we were ready to perform at our best when we had to perform. Like that, and that's all you can ask is that the guys go revert to their training, and we got more orientated as the game went on. And as a coach, you feel great about that, and you feel good about where your guys are at and where their heads are at, because you can hear them talking. You're talking about the coaches talking, but the players are talking. The communication's outstanding going, you know, between defensemen and forwards and between line combinations and D pairings or a guy coming off the ice, my bad, you know, on a turnover or something like that. So everybody was holding themselves accountable, and it was a great thing this run has been really good for our program.
The game-winning goal came at the 5:36 mark of the second period. It was not your flashy goal by any stretch of the imagination, but you kind of had a feeling that was the way this game was going to be won or lost here tonight, Saturday night.
Misiak will bring it. Almost turned that over. And Pastorek out of the box, so a good kill by Northern Michigan. Keeping the score 0-0 as Mark Ocknell will stick handle it across the line. Create some time and space back to Meek. Meek will send it back behind the net. Off of the boards, get right up front, a chance! Scores! Oh, it is! Reitmeier, who banged it home as it came off awkwardly from the end wall. The Huskies get a little bit of a break there, and they take a 1-0 lead.
You know, a little bit of a break, but smart play by Mitch Meek, the way he sent that down off the boards, right?
Yeah, and a good battle behind the net, and again, do you hear the crowd there in the band? I mean, it's you can't tell where that game is being played at. It's
right.
It's just absolutely, to me, it's phenomenal. It's unbelievable that it was and it was a battle to get into that rink, and we had people muscle their way in, that just gives me goosebumps just listening to that when we scored the goal. You can't tell who got it.
Great job there by Reitmeier to get the goal for the Huskies, and Misiak and Meek get the assists on the goal that made it 1-0 in the second period at the 5:36 mark. Throughout that game, there were some great saves. Here's one of Munson's saves.
23-70, Wildcats win the draw, 1-0 Huskies. Ballou, one-timer, that one just missed the net. The side of the goal, save made there by Munson, then it hit the post.
How about Ate Tovanen on Joel Esperance?
And Huskies come out with it. Here comes Esperance. Makes a move to the net. Save, rebound. Another shot. Another save by Tovanen. He made three saves.
That was an unbelievable sequence right there that he stopped.
Yeah, we got a lot of bodies in front of the net. It was just it was an exciting hockey game. It was fun to be part of.
Well, this is, you said after the game, Coach, this was the pivotal point or maybe the key play of the game, Patrick Munson save.
Here come the Wildcats. 2-on-1 down low. Passed over. And a save by Munson. He's got to get back in net. Everybody thought it went in. Munson caught it and trapped it between his
arm and his body, and that was an unbelievable chance for the Wildcats.
That is as good as a goal for Michigan Tech, because that sure saved one.
It actually did go through, as we saw after on the replay, but it was lined behind him, and somebody was able to sweep it to the corner.
That's a great call by on the color right there. That's as good as a goal. That's right. That's a swing the other way, because that's how quickly Northern is in transition. Grant and his staff have done a great job with that team. A great job. They're dynamic offensively. They have a lot of guys that put up a lot of points, and they can turn it around. And that play was by third, fourth line that, I mean, they turned it back at us in a quick hurry in a neutral zone transition, and were able to create that quick outside play. And I believe it was D'Amico Hanoon who he can score. D'Amico can, I mean, he's an 80 point guy in the BC league. He's a good hockey player with size and great offensive prowess. That kid went to four straight RBC Cup championships with different teams. Wow. But four straight times he was a leading player on a team that went to the RBC championships, and tremendous hockey player. And Packy, I mean, and he got all of it. Packy got across there, and that was an unbelievable save. Someone asked me after, in a press conference, made an instance, I can't remember what it was that the biggest part of the game, the biggest point in the game? I said, the biggest point of the game was that save in the second period by Packy Munson it was an incredible save that he made.
It was a great save that kept it 1-0 Michigan Tech. The Huskies were finally, towards the end of the game, able to get an empty netter on a great play.
Huskies getting it down deep, last minute of play. Here's a shot, just went wide of the net. Open net for now Burks, trying to put it away. Burks is walking in, passes it to the front, back to the point, backhand shot, scores! Lefkowitz with the goal! Gives the Huskies a 2-0 lead into the empty net.
47 seconds remaining. The Wildcats were still able to put pressure on. They did score, but it was disallowed because of the high stick that everybody on the ice seemed to know. It was going to be a high-sticking call. I didn't get a good look at it. I just saw a nice shot that went in the net.
Yeah, it was a. I believe we blocked the shot, and it bounced out to the back door, and Robbie Payne, it was a high stick for sure. We could tell it was a high stick from the bench. Now, you never know how they're going to call it and if they can get the right view to make the call, but they did a great job in disallowing the goal, so which preserved the shutout. And it was, at that point, there were like 2 seconds left.
Right.
So I don't think the puck was coming back in our zone. And our guys did a great job. And again, the lessons we learned in the Bemidji series really helped us down the stretch there with that goalie out. And then we were able to build on that in the Mankato series when they were able to pull their goaltender and then in this game. So we've learned a lot of lessons. We've grown a lot throughout the year. We've come together for sure as a group. It's been a pleasure. This is what you look for in athletics, where everybody's pulling in the same direction. You know, they're all rowing that boat. No one's fighting each other. No one's going opposite directions right now. There's been a great buy-in, and really a turning point, I think, was that Bowling Green. If I had to pick a turning point on the year for us where we started developing some consistency, was that Bowling Green game where we got beat up pretty good the first night. Depleted lineup, whole line out. I believe Baltus comes back in the lineup to bail us out, to give us another body. We dress short. And then we get through that game with a 4-0 shutout. Robbie Badoon gives us a great effort in the net, and the guys play a tremendous game. We compete with every bit of energy that we had and come out with that. And then from that point on, it's been just a growing thing. And, you look at the Arizona State game that we lost. We played a great game in that. We just didn't come out on the right side. So we've put a lot of games together. From that time, we played Bowling Green. And then we had to play Northern Michigan. We had to play Bemidji State, which we got a great goaltending effort out of Devin Carroll in the Winter Carnival. So we played three of the top four teams, and then Northern again. So four of the top five teams, and then Mankato. And we played all the top teams down the stretch and had success against all of them. So a great growth spurt by our group. I give full credit to the players. And like I said, it's just in a lot of ways, it's just us having to keep out of their way and let them do what they do.
We'll talk more about Saturday night's game. And don't forget, you can get your questions in by emailing them to me, dj@themix93.com. And we'll ask those questions for you later on in the Joe Schoen Hour. The Joe Schoen Hour continuing on right after this on Mix 93.
At Michelob Ultra, we know it's not just about how much you work out every day. It's about how much you work into every day, too. That's why we brew a beer for those who realize that expending calories should never come at the expense of spending time with friends. And for those who understand that just because you work out doesn't mean you can't go out. Hey, that's why we brew Michelob Ultra to have 95 calories, 2.6 carbs, and an exceptional taste. Michelob Ultra, brewed for those who go the extra mile. Enjoy responsibly. 2016 Michelob Ultra Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. 95 calories, 2.6 carbs, 0.6 grams protein, 0 grams fat per 12 ounces.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance? Are you concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Megan Kangas of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whether you are single, married, have a house full of kids, are retired and aging gracefully, whatever your situation, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, the Turvo Agency offers more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Stop in or give us a call at 482-0080.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingun knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Your local Carfax Advantage dealer, Cuna Automotive, across from Walmart in Houghton, has announced a huge inventory reduction sale on all their in-stock cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. Save thousands on a broad lineup of quality, clean, pre-owned vehicles, selectively chosen, thoroughly inspected, and guaranteed for your utmost satisfaction. Stop in today and take advantage of the amazing sale prices on the cleanest pre-owned vehicles you'll find anywhere. That's the big inventory reduction sale going on now at Cuna Automotive, a family-owned automotive center on the business strip in Houghton. 482-7988 or go to CunaAutomotive.com.
Tax time is here. Let the tax professionals at Lake County prepare and e-file your income tax return. The Affordable Care Act, identity theft, the earned income credit and education credits are just a few of the reasons you need the services of the tax professionals at Lake County. Lake County will ensure that you receive all the credits and deductions that you are entitled to. Lake County is ready to relieve the stress related to tax preparation. Call 482-2370. That's 482-2370. Lake County, located 1 mile west of the Copper Country Mall, Houghton.
Welcome back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93. We're talking about the big win on Saturday night. Michigan Tech defeating Northern Michigan by a score of 2-0 to advance to the NCAA tournament, which they will be out east in the East region and will take on the second-seeded Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Brent Baltus, first of all, Packy Bunsen getting the shutout on Saturday night. We chatted with him on the ice. Now, keep in mind, and I apologize about the audio here. It was, you can back me up on this, Coach. The volume down on ice level after that game was, it was deafening. It was nonstop, and it was just, it was hard to hear anything down there. It was so loud.
Yeah, I had one-on-one conversations with several people down there, so. Mm-hmm. Commissioner of the league, and I want to make sure that I told the referees I'm going to say something. I give a lot of credit to Mike Hastings from Mankato. Mike Hastings is the chair of our coaches committee, within the league. And we had a deal a couple of years ago where when we played, my first year here, when we played Mankato at the Excel Center in the championship game, and, the referees we had for that game, neither team was happy with the referees we had for that championship game. And so Mike, after us defeating them, you know, having success against them the week before, called me on Monday and he brought that up to me and he said, do you want me to get involved and make sure? Cause we've gone to an evaluation system within the league where we're evaluating. Then we even took a step further and the league asked us to pick four referees that we want, that we would be good with doing playoff games, and what they were doing is trying to match referees that both teams that were playing on a weekend were happy with, linesmen and referees. So a long way, we've gone a long way, and that started after our big deal against Mankato earlier in the year. Again, Mike Hastings, to his credit, we played Mankato. We came out of that very unhappy with some things. I got reprimanded for some comments on the radio that I made. But Mike took it to say, we got to get better. Joe, you're right. We got to get better. And so he said, do you want me to get involved and make a phone call to make sure that the coaches, both coaches, you and Grant Patolny at Northern, are happy with the referees? I said, Mike, that'd be awesome. We had a great talk, and he did it. He followed it up. So, and the league responded to it and sent tremendous referees and let them referee the game. And, I thought, and I think Grant feels the same way. They did a phenomenal job. They did a tremendous job in the game. Two power plays each way. They weren't the difference in the game. The power plays that were called were good power plays. They were, but the teams decided the game, which is what the teams want. You don't want to turn it into a schmozzle of like, come on, let us decide ourselves. So I wanted to tell them after the game, you guys earned your way to being here and you did a phenomenal job. I want you to, cause we're done with them. You know, we're done seeing them now and who knows, we may never see some of them again, but they did a great job. So I give Mike Hastings a lot of credit for the professionalism he did on behalf of the league in getting involved in that.
All right, so Packy Munson talking about that big save after the game.
Right about the save back in the second period, it looked like it was going to go through you. It looked like it went between your body and your arm and somehow stayed on the net.
Yeah, he made a quick play, and I just flipped over and I felt it hit my arm. And I didn't really know where it was. It came behind me, and I was playing goalie and saved it. So it was a hell of a play by him, and like it didn't go in.
Great job. Go join your team.
Thank you.
That's Patrick Munson talking about that save that, from our angle, I thought for sure it was going to go in. He was able to make that stop, and that was great. There is nobody I'm more happy for on this Michigan Tech hockey team than Brent Baltus. To be able to be a part of this game after supporting the team off the ice last year in that gigantic game at the McGinnis Student Ice Arena. So happy for him to be a part of it, and a big part of it. Without him on this team this year, this probably would not have happened.
Yeah, I personally thank him. Like his leadership, his growth as a man has been absolutely phenomenal. He was graduated a year ago. When we went to Fairbanks and Anchorage in November a year ago, he developed blood clots and they moved and it got serious. That's a serious deal. They were moving into the lung area and things like that. So his year was over. His senior year was done. We made a run to the national tournament a year ago and he wasn't part of it. He got married in the off season. He had job opportunities lined up. He's a graduate of actuary sciences, which is a incredible field to be in. And I talked to him when I got the job about coming back, and leading us, and told him that I would make him, like, I wanted him to be our captain. I wanted him to lead our group. He didn't have to think about it very long. But now he's married, you know, he decided to come back. And then at the beginning of the year, there were times where I felt for him because the season wasn't going like the years that he was used to having. There was a lot of transition. There was a lot of challenging guys. There was a lot of trying to grow this group. And we talked about it so many times about getting guys that had never been at the forefront to move into the forefront. Take that responsibility. Enjoy it. You know, it's you now. It's your time. And there was a turning point in the year where he said, I remember on the bench I talked about it, and it was in Alaska where, something happened with Jake Jackson. And they were coming off the ice. It was on a face-off play, and I was getting ready to talk to Jake to straighten it out. And Balt said, I got it. And I said, face-off? He said, I got it. And he talked to Jake, and I knew we're headed. You're like, this is our leadership. And we talked about that on the radio at the time. It's starting to take over. The group is starting to manage itself. They're starting to hold each other to a standard. And now we pushed a little bit back and forth on that as the year went on, but it was coming, and it was Brent Baltus who led the way, along with some other guys that have done a great job as well. But, and then after the game, I gave him the biggest hug. I said, thanks so much. And he said the same thing. It meant so much to him. I mean, the growth, the leadership, this will be with him in everything he does, parenting, work, everything he does down the road. This experience will be with him to be able to lead others through times. And that's what athletics is about.
We talked to Brent on the ice after the game and asked him how special this was.
Unbelievable. I can't, words can't describe it for this group. I mean, everything we've been through, like I said, the ups and downs. I couldn't be more proud to wear the black and gold and represent this university.
When they had so much puck control in that third period, I mean, it had to be nail-biting time for you guys, knowing that, you know, we were chasing a lot, but you guys didn't bend, or you didn't break. You bent, but didn't break.
Yeah, I think it was just like last weekend against Mankato, two games of third periods. I mean, they pushed, and we knew they were going to throw everything at us. They're a great team. They had a great season, so it was a lot of fun.
Congratulations.
Thanks, sir.
Brent Baltus after the game on the ice at the Berry Event Center, and you know, there was a lot of emotion going on down there, and you could see he was welling up a little bit too, trying to take it all in.
Yeah, he's a man. He's a man. He's a man. I'd hire him. I'd do it. You know, he's just exactly what you want a student athlete to be like. He's a man.
First time, I think, since 1978, Coach, that Northern or Minnesota and North Dakota are not in the NCAA tournament. It came right down to the wire for them, and some strange games on Saturday night after ours and during ours that were going on. But we are taking on Notre Dame. We'll have a lot more to talk about that. We'll have some of your questions coming up after the break. It's all part of the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ.
Got the fender bender blues, people stop and stare. You need advanced tech body repair. Your car's looking new, it's a beautiful sight. Advanced tech gets the job done right. Clean, friendly service without delay.
Without delay.
Don't drive that wreck for one more day. Beat the fender bender blues. Advanced tech body repair.
Whether our Huskies are on the turf, the ice, or the hardwood, show your Michigan Tech home team pride by sporting Husky apparel from University Images, the campus store, or online at bookstore.mtu.edu. If souvenirs are your game, we've got you covered there too. We're sure you'll find exactly what you're looking for when you visit us in person or online. Check our campus store and University Images social media feeds for our latest store news, promotions, and operating hours. Your support goes directly back to the local and campus communities. And always, we thank you for your patronage.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup. And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
Now, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way.
Avocado, dude.
Arugula. Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger? But turkeys are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche.
No, sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese. Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke. My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
It doesn't take a step-by-step recipe or even a plan to make a delicious meal. It doesn't take a freshly starched apron or an official foodie degree from social media. It just takes an ice-cold Coke, delicious food, and good friends. So whip up a meal, however you like. Grab some ice-cold Coke from your local supermarket and taste the feeling today.
Steph from the Wickley Agency. From the moment she was born, I promised to love her, to protect her from all of the monsters under her bed, and to support her and all of her dreams. From the moment she was born, I promised that I would always provide for her, no matter what. That's why I bought life insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, to secure her future, no matter what. Do you have the life insurance your family needs? Give us a call at 482-1140 or stop by the Wickley Agency in Hancock.
Taco, Taco Man. You know I got to be a Taco Man. I said Taco, Taco Man, yeah.
You can be a Taco Man at Joey's Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton with their fish taco starting at $2.99. And in minutes, you can be a Taco, Taco Man too at Joey's Seafood and Grill, where it's easy to be a Taco Man.
Joe Schaan continues here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Before we move on from Friday night's game, Coach, we haven't mentioned yet the block shots by Michigan Tech. You know, I always hear you and Coach Stewart and Coach Brooks talking about commitment, buying in, and it certainly seemed like more than any other game this season, that as far as the blocking shots and sacrificing the body, it seemed like the Huskies bought in more than they have at any other time, and none more obvious than the tremendous effort and post-blocked shot effort by Jake Jackson in that third period.
Yeah, he took that one hard, didn't he? I think we had 22 on the game was the official count, and 21 shots against. So so we actually blocked more shots than got through. So great buy-in, and those are shots that don't have a chance. You know, they don't even get to the goalie. And you can't put a price tag on how valuable that is. That is a sign of complete buy-in. And I know Grant made a comment to that. Grant Patolny after the game on that he was, you know, he noticed the team buy-in on in that area of our game. So that meant a lot to. He made some great comments. He was very classy. We had a one-on-one talk after he was done with his press conference before I went in. Extremely classy guy.
And the iconic photo of the game or the post game, I think, is with the team down on the corner. You know, the Mitch's Misfits and the Huskies fans and the Huskies band behind you. And
yeah.
I mean, it doesn't get any better.
That's how it should be. They're all part of it. They're all in there. And, you know, a year ago we were able to enjoy it on the ice with our fans. That was fun when they all came on the ice. This time it was fun to, it was great to get over there, and at least there was glass between us, but at least we got to get over there and get close to them.
Well, I wanted to get your thoughts on the tournament seeding, coach, a little bit, and some of these phenomenal teams that are in the NCAA Division I hockey tournament. Other than us playing out east against Notre Dame in Bridgeport, you have the other bracket with this Providence and Clarkson. Should be a great game between those two teams, I think.
Yeah, the Clarkson Providence?
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be a tremendous game. Yeah, Clarkson's a good team. Casey Jones, we're going to get a chance to go out there and play them next year. They're going to come back the following year. Casey's a good friend. He's a funny guy. He's fun to be around all the time. And I got a little story about Casey. I remember a few years, it was quite a while back now. He was an assistant at Ohio State. And we were in Des Moines, Iowa together recruiting, and it was later in the year, and he just looked, I mean, he was broke out. He had, you know, rashes, and they were having a rough year. They were having a rough year. And I said, Casey, are you all right? We were out having a bite to eat. And he said, do I look all right, Joe? He says, look at me. My hair's falling out. I'm broke out. He says, no, I'm not all right. This is killing me. But he got his head coaching job at Clarkson. I believe it's his alma mater. I believe it is. And he's done a tremendous job. They were number one in the country for a time this year. That's going to be a good game. We all know that, you know, the job that Nate Lehman does at Providence, Scott Bork is there, has done incredible recruiting for them. And so that's going to be a tremendous hockey game. That's a tough draw for a top seed, for, you know, an upper seed right there.
Yeah, going back to the Michigan Tech Notre Dame game, Jeff Jackson, I mean, they've been in the top five all year long. They've been right there. They've got the scoring. They've got, what is his name? Evans, that has a million points. Jeff Jackson, though, I know you're obviously very familiar with him. Remind me, did he come in as an assistant at Lake State right after you?
No, he was there. He coached me in
okay.
He coached me in 87, and he handled the goalies and things. If I had a mentor that I would have would be him. I got to watch him. Geez, 88, right? Even, you know, as in a coaching capacity from 88 until, because as a player in 87, you know, you don't have that much. You aren't seeing things behind the scenes. But in 88 until 95, I believe, is when he left. I think he went and started the development program.
Right.
I got to see him virtually daily, how he operated, along with Paul Pooley, who was with him for a couple of national titles at Lake State, and has been with him his whole time at Notre Dame. He's had the biggest influence on me. And I said that back when I was hired here, like it was the biggest influence to see him, to see his, you know, how he was tactical. I mean, he just, like to me, he just drew me in. It was just to watch him, to hear what he was doing, why he was doing it. He did some crazy things that, you know, I remember a deal he did, just a small deal against BU, with a team that won the national championship. I think we had gone like four games in a row in overtime, or at least four games in a row in overtime to get to the championship game, including a 4-3 win, I think it was, over Harvard in the semifinal. And then he made a quick little adjustment. This was in 94, I believe, made a quick little adjustment for BU to handle their forechecking pressure and turned it into a 9-1 win in the championship game. So barely getting in, working your way through to a 9-1 championship win against a powerhouse in Boston University. I remember Jackie Parker saying that was the one of the best performances he'd ever seen. He came right in the locker room after the game and congratulated our team on the championship. Jackie Parker did so. Incredible coach, incredible staff. Everything he does, he's the best coach I've ever been around. He is the best coach I've ever been around. We're not going to outcoach him, I'll guarantee you that. It'll be up to our players to outplay them, because they'll have every detail covered. We'll do the best we can. But he's a phenomenal, phenomenal man and an absolutely tremendous coach.
Jake Evans leading the way for the, Fighting Irish. 11 goals, 29 assists for 40 points, going into this weekend. Ogilvy, not bad. 12 goals, 20 assists for 32 points and gross. And then you've got the incredibly solid goaltending in Cale Morris. 1.92 goals against Irish. So they really do have, you know, much like Minnesota State, just everything covered there. I mean, they
They're good. Yeah, they're a tremendous hockey team. They're number one for a lot of the year, and you know, they were in the Final Four last year. These guys, they have a veteran defensive core. They know how to play. So, and I think we know how to play. I'm expecting a great hockey game. I think that we're playing good hockey right now, and I'm really expecting a great game. We played them twice a year ago in South Bend and split with them, and I think it's going to be a great hockey game.
St. Cloud was the number one overall seed, Coach, even though they lost that last game, and they will take on Air Force, who is the 16th seed coming in. And we all know Air Force has been one of those teams that have given these really really high seeds fits in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, because you know what you're playing there. You're playing against incredible young men with outstanding character and a no-quit attitude, the military guys. So, and then you got Frank Sartori, who does an absolute phenomenal job. Always great on the penalty kill. You can never, ever count them out. And that's the talk that they'll have all week with them, that Bobby Motzko will have all week with this team. Don't take this team lightly. I know their coach very well. The guys travel to Key West together. They hang out together. They know each other. They go way back. So, it's, you know, again, that game, anything can happen. And in this tournament, anything can happen. It's one and out. You know, so now the series part of it's all done.
Very intriguing matchup. Minnesota State and Minnesota Duluth also in that West region.
Yeah, how about that? All three Minnesota teams. And the University of Minnesota doesn't get in by point, I think it was .0001.
Is that what it was?
it was drug way out. And my understanding is that six things had to happen on the last day. Six different things, and they all happened.
Right.
But it's great. I love the Duluth staff. I was back and forth with Jason Herter, who was in deep for this job. He's an assistant at Duluth. We were back and forth after the game, congratulating and things like that. I love their staff. I'm glad they got in. I love, you know, Mike Gibbons is a great man, a good friend over assistant coach at St. Cloud, you know, and obviously the Mankato team. So, there's only going to be one team coming out of that bracket. And possibly no Minnesota teams, potentially, no, you know, if Air Force were to pull some magic. So it should be a lot of fun, but it'll dwindle the state down quite a bit.
A couple of other series I just want to other games I want to highlight. Mel and Michigan taking on Northeastern in the Northeast Regional.
Yeah, and two teams that are very much alike. They both are offensively oriented teams that like to score goals. Northeastern's got some great offensive players. Gaudette, who probably is the favorite for the Hobie Baker, is a great player. So that's going to be that region is going to be a fun region. That whole region is going to be fun. So you know, it'll be good hockey.
One other matchup I wanted to get your comments on, Coach. Denver, the team that we lost to last year in the first game of the NCAA tournament, takes on Penn State.
Yeah, I love watching Denver play. I mean, complete buy-in, relentless pursuit on the puck, incredible work ethic, incredible character and chemistry on that team. That's a team that does that, you know, in talking to Monty over the years, the demands that he has on his group and the ability to get them to buy in and the ability to move character to the forefront. And I mean, they had a guy on that team, the Jundra guy. I was watching the game the other night and they were talking about him. The announcers were, and he's kind of a local area type guy. When they brought him in, they have so many numbers. They carry so many guys, which is hard in itself in managing a larger, more depth. We're doing that next year. We're bringing in more guys. So we don't run into some of the issues we had this year with injuries and things like that. But they told this young man when he came in, now you and some others may not even get to practice. You may not, like, there may be days where we say you can't come out because we need to get reps for the other guys.
Wow.
Can you handle that? Do you have the character to handle that? Well, now he fits right into their system. I think he's a senior now, but he fits right into what they do because of his relentless work ethic and pursuit and total understanding of what they do. And Denver's the model for me in college hockey. They're the model of how you want in players that, like in college where you have 4-year time and things like that, how you want to run a program in their buy-in, their growth throughout a year, the things of that. Monty's done just an unbelievable job there. He did a great job in juniors. He was a great player that played the same way. There was never quit in him. So, they're the model in my opinion.
All right. The Huskies playing at 3:00 Friday afternoon against the second seed Notre Dame Fighting Irish. We'll have the broadcast for you at 2:30 here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We've got your questions coming up after the break. It's the Joe Schon Hour right here on Mix 93.
When you need to find a part at a price that's right, that red and blue sign is just within sight. Roll in,
roll in
to CarQuest and roll on.
Buy one 14-ounce can of Wherever Brake Parts Cleaner. Get your second can free through March 28th at Harder's CarQuest in Calumet.
When you want some help from a fellow car lover, it's all in one place, as you'll discover. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
The Khalifa Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations, 7 days a week, with home-style service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone, with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Khalifa Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays, 8 till 9.
Not everyone has $1 million, but everyone can have $1 million smile. The smile that lights up a room, instantly puts people at ease. The smile that gives you the confidence to be you. Your smile is uniquely yours. Treasure it. Protect it. Superior Smiles, gentle quality dentistry for the entire family. With pediatric dentist Sarah Metlack, Doctors Fisher, Sarazen, Strong, and Sliss. Superior Smiles Family Dentistry in Hancock. And now in Lorium on 77 3rd Street. Call today for your appointment. 482-3621 Hancock. 337-5049 Lorium.
Save your bucks at Bucko's during their March Madness sale. All six packs of 16-ounce canned beer is on sale. 32-ounce Powerades are 10 for 10 bucks. Vitamin Waters and Core Organic Energy drinks are 4 for 5. Red Baron pizzas are 3 for $9.99. Kickstar Energy drinks are 4 for 4. And High Drive Energy drinks are only 99 cents. At your party headquarters, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All sales do not include taxes or deposits.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingan knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Welcome back to the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93. The Huskies are headed to the NCAA tournament, the East Regional, and that'll be in Bridgeport, Connecticut, at the Webster. And now that game will be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Let's get to some of your questions here today for Coach Schon and get as many of these in as we can. Coach, are there any plans to have a public event at the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena for people who weren't able to get tickets to see the game at Northern Michigan? We watched it on TV and jumped up and down in our living room. We listened to Dirk's post game. We still miss being in the same room as the team and the trophy. And I'm sure many other fans feel the same way. Do you think there will be, or do you have any idea if there'd be any kind of a event for the fans?
We can have something. I'd be open to any suggestions. Send me an email, I'll mention that to the athletic department. We can do anything that gets, like I said, this university is the community. If the community wants to be part of anything we can do to help to be inclusive and get them involved with us, we want to do that because, like I said, my biggest disappointment wouldn't have been that Joe Schon wasn't able to bring a championship, my biggest disappointment would have been that the community, that I let down the community, and what could I have done better? And, so anything we can do, we'll gladly do.
Next question. Coach, congratulations on the title. I'm sure Brewster will have the guys ready to go on Friday afternoon, but how does the early start affect your travel plans? Will you leave a day earlier than you would for a regular series? And how much time and effort do you put into preparing for your second round game? Not knowing who you're going to play in the second round.
Yeah, we know who we're going to play. So, our prep work started on that already, started yesterday. Regarding our travel, it won't be an issue. It'll be a quick flight over to Bridgeport. I believe we're going to have some weather there, is understanding.
John D says there's another nor'easter coming in. So, yeah. That'll be on Wednesday. So I don't know if that's going to make.
Yeah. So if we have to adjust our travel plans, our our plan is to get over there. It's, you know, we bus to Mankato, which was, I don't know, we went to Duluth, spent the night. We did the same thing in Bemidji, went to Duluth, spent the night. So we'll have easier travel getting to Bridgeport than we did for those. And we'll get in there. We'll practice here, get on the road, have a good night's sleep, have a good meal, and then practice in their rink on Thursday and then be ready for the game. So it'll be the same for both teams. So it'll be fine.
Question for you, Coach. Having played on the road the last 3 weekends, does this make you feel more prepared going into the tournament or more tired?
I think we're okay. I think Brian Brewster does an incredible job. He's monitored, like, whether we spent the night after a game, that part of what we were doing. He's even doing that right now. He's proactive, anticipating us having some success. Our talk yesterday was about what to do after next week and what's our plans to make sure our recovery gives us the best chance, to move on. So, he does a great job on that part of it. Telling me go short today. The guys are good today. You can do it, so he's phenomenal at it. And Tyler Schlast does a great job at that part of it. So, making sure that we're physically ready to go and that our recovery as far as our body is in tune to being able to recover in the time it needs to recover on the ice for games per shift and things like that. So I feel good about, listening to those guys, and I think we're going to be fine, but it certainly, I think, hardens us a bit to have to play on the road. It hardens us to have to have gone to Bowling Green before the playoffs. It hardens us to have that home-and-home series with Notre Dame. With Northern Michigan before the playoffs, that last series. It hardens us to, and they were playing for a championship. Right. So all those things, playing Bemidji in the Winter Carnival, a top team, those things have all helped prepare us.
When the team is on the road, Coach, what is their favorite food stop to make? Is there one place that the guys always seem to agree on?
Chipotle or Qdoba. Yeah. There's one of those that they like better, and I can't remember if it's Chipotle or Qdoba, if they had to choose between the two, but it's usually one of those stops, and personally, I like it. I like it too.
Next question, Coach. Can you talk about some of the adjustments you made in your game plan for playing on the larger sheet down at Northern?
Is Bridgeport a big ice sheet?
I don't think so.
So I know a lot of things we had to do. We had to make sure we stayed on top of them, on top of their forwards. They were great in transition, so we had to make sure that we monitored that. There's a number of things that we did, adjustments we made on the forecheck, there were adjustments we made on the D zone cover, there were adjustments we made on the penalty kill, both on the forecheck and on the D zone cover. That were great. Our penalty kill was tremendous in the two that we had in that game. They were absolutely tremendous. Did a great job. We didn't give them those quick hit opportunities that they had. We took away their, the strengths we thought that they had, and forced it to force guys to make plays that we thought, which is where we wanted them to be. But I think in virtually every aspect of the game, there was something that we did that our guys had input on it. They talked about it. We talked things through. We met with them on every aspect and gave them our thoughts. They talked about their thoughts, and so they were involved in the plan and had good buy-in.
Next question for Coach Sean. When the team has a road game and leaves campus several days early, do you have study time set aside for the student athletes?
We certainly have a relative quiet time. But no, we don't set that aside, but they all study, and there's constant talk with them about staying on top of their studies. The thing you have to watch this time of year, and it gives you indication as to where guys' heads are at. And I'll give you an example. I played with a player and then he was there on the 88 championship team at Lake State, Mark Vermette. Tremendous player, college hockey player of the year, 44 goals, something like that, scored the winning goal in overtime in the national championship game against St. Lawrence. But he absolutely quit going to school his the last semester of his senior year, and I've seen that happen several times with players. And it wasn't his senior, it was his junior year. So he did a couple things that didn't work in his favor. By not going to school, it gave Quebec, who had drafted him, an idea of what he was doing. So now it reduced his bargaining his contract bargaining position, and they knew that he was going to sign. And then obviously, as far as the school, that was Frank Antoine at the time, knew he was leaving school. So you try to keep up on that and monitor that as best you can, and get honesty from the profs and from the players. But we talk to them all the time. There's a little different type of individual here. This school is a high priority here for these athletes.
Interesting, because I never thought about bargaining with the pros on.
Yeah, when they're leaving early.
They
catch wind of a guy leaving, that especially a draft pick. If a guy, now that can go in your favor, probably if you're a free agent type player and you quit going to school, because then they know you're coming out. Mm-hmm. So now teams, if they're interested, can line up and start putting their offers together. That may raise you money. But when you're a draft pick and they have your rights, you know, now the whole negotiating, you have no option to go back to school if they want you there, you know, and that's what happened in this case.
What are some notable differences between your coaching philosophies and Jeff Jackson?
There probably are some, but, in honesty, I'll guarantee you he never tried to copy me, but I'll guarantee you I tried to copy him. So, I think if I try to emulate myself after anybody, it was Jeff. I just believed, you know, you have to realize that for that period where he was the head coach, I think he was the head coach from like 91 to 96, like 90, 91 to like 90.
95, 96.
Yeah, 95, 96. So that's not very long. That's like 6 years. Three of those years, he was in the championship game of the national tournament. And all 6 years, a favorite. Like his last year at Lake State, won the league and things, you know. So I would never root against him. And I wouldn't even say root against, I would never bet against him, because I think that'd be throwing money away. He's an absolutely incredible coach. So I think every way I look at the game, you know, what would Jesus do? What would Jeff do? You know, because he's, I just got to sit back and just watch him and watch what he did and watch how he thought and listen to him, listen to, you know, his reasoning on things. And it was an unbelievable experience for me. And I wasn't at that time looking to be a head coach or anything. So it was just a guy that was really interested and was able to be involved in the program and to sit back and just learn. So it was a great, great, and when I went into juniors, did everything the exact same,
yeah.
Did everything the exact same. So, and then he used to come back even when he was coaching the Islanders. They were on, he was assistant coach for New York Islanders. He came back and ran some practices for us, and just to sit and talk to him about those experiences. And when he went to the major junior, the London Knight or Guelph Storm, so he's just everything he did, I tried to emulate, I think.
Only got a couple minutes, Coach. Somebody wants you to give your thoughts on Packy and the helmet coming off of the ice. Was that a risky action on his part, and could a penalty have been called? And I know during the press conference he said that the strap had come loose from the shot prior to that.
Both straps came loose, so the mask was flopping on his head, so it now bothers your vision, because it comes down instead of being held tight to the jaw and things. It comes down and then it gets over your eyes and things. So he just chose to get rid of it. Now, could they have called something? Yeah, they could have, but you saw how easy it came off. It just, like, it wasn't done up. And it was flopping around on his head because he took that shot right before it that loosened it. It's not like nothing happened there and he just said, I'm getting rid of my mask. But the other side of it, that's Packy Munson. I mean, that's Packy. He's, you know, he does some goofy stuff. Like I'll give you an example. Last week, I don't have a problem saying it. We're doing a drill. It was a situational drill. It was a team drill. It was on Wednesday, and one of our guys was coming down and he threw a stick at him, like threw a stick at the puck. And I came off the bench and I just went up to him. I said, Packy, what just happened? He said, what do you mean? What do you mean? I said, what just happened to your stick? Because I was trying to get my head around it. And he said, oh, I just threw it. I was just horsing around. I said, this isn't horse around time. this isn't horse around time. You know, you're thinking to yourself, what if the guy falls on his stick or whatever? Or I want to see you make that save. Mm-hmm. Like, this is game simulation. This is growth time here. But that's Packy. You know, he can drive you crazy and he can win you a hockey game. So, you know, when he's not on top of his game, he drives you crazy. When he's on top of his game, you know, you have to make a decision whether you turn your cheek or, you know, look the other way or, how you handle him. And that's, you know, that's Packy.
Congratulations, Coach, on the championship. We are certainly looking for much, much more from this team. It's been so much fun so far. Game time at 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon. We'll be there, of course, on the air at 2:30. Bridgeport, Connecticut is where we'll be broadcasting from. And, we'll head on out there.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And again, the support has been tremendous. I guarantee you that we'll show up to play.
Very good. That's the Joe Schott Hour. Thanks for your questions, everybody. And again, if you're a business owner that would like to be part of our Michigan Tech hockey broadcast this weekend, give our studios a call at 482-3700, area code 906. That's the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. See you Friday.